This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
The droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fume. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and wife, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're talking with Brandy, the director of the Star Wars track at DragonCon. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show.
Welcome back to the show, Brandy!
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited. It's been a great time to be a Star Wars fan.
It is. And 3 weeks to Dragon Con. Ah.
Yeah, when we asked you last week to come on, we were just thinking, yeah, we're going to talk about Dragon Con, do a preview there, and then, then all the news dropped this week.
It's like they were planning it just for us.
Just for us.
Well, they know we need more stuff to talk about at Dragon Con, so...
Right, because, you know, we're totally going to plan up until the last minute just exactly what we need to know.
Right?
Before we go on too much further, a note from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
We're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, Transformers, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast.
And there are some new releases Her Universe has out.
There was a back-to-school collection for Star Wars and Marvel featuring a very cute S.H.I.E.L.D. cardigan and a very cute Jedi Training Academy cardigan, and I have told myself I'm not allowed to buy the Star Wars cardigan.
Because Friday.
You really should have it. It's really cute. It's kind of perfect for you.
It is, but I have stuff, and I told myself I can buy it if something good happens in the near future. I'll buy it as a congratulations, but I'm holding because I know, I think Brian doesn't realize exactly how much money I will spend on Force Friday. I think he's very severely underestimating how much money I can drop on all the stuff. So
I, for one, am looking forward to finding out.
You've seen how many action figures I've bought at conventions.
This is true.
Now just imagine if they're all full price.
True.
And I want all of them.
Didn't we have the meme a couple of times now, buy all the things?
Yes.
I mean, that's really what this is for.
It is. And it's not just toys. It's all the books. There's going to be makeup. So, I mean, yeah. Buy all the things.
All the things.
All the things.
And as far as another advertising note goes, we're talking about launching something new here. If you listeners want to help support us directly, in the next couple of weeks, we'll be starting a Patreon that you can contribute just a little bit to help us pay for our web hosting costs, for the podcasting hosting costs, and to buy materials for our upcoming Star Wars tabletop podcast.
Yeah, so we're going to be one of those people with a Patreon. Apparently that's a hip thing to do right now, but
it's a little more efficient than advertising money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's also, it's like, you know, there's Kickstarter, but that's for projects, you know, you can't really kickstart a podcast.
And we're really not looking for much.
No, we're not. Web hosting is pretty much it.
Yeah. If we hit 15 bucks a month on Patreon to just cover the web hosting, we're
Woo-hoo!
Happy. But yeah, we are going to have some stretch goals on there, and some of those stretch goals will include...
They're not stretch goals on Patreon.
That's right. They're
milestones.
They're milestones. We'll have some milestones that will include unlocking perhaps a second tabletop podcast episode a month.
Yeah.
And Nancy may be contributing some additional stuff as well.
I said I'd write some stories, either fan fiction or original. I don't know. Maybe I'll let people vote.
Oh.
They could make me write about Han Solo.
I am listening very carefully.
Hey, I have actually written about... I will reveal a secret to the listening audience. The super long fanfic I wrote featured a lot of Han, and he was actually my third favorite character to write in it.
Your third favorite? Okay, wait. So Luke and then Leia, or no?
Mara.
Oh, wait, yeah.
What's of course.
Name? Right.
Yeah, but no, he's like, that was what made me really start appreciating him, is because he's really fun to write. And I'm like, now I understand why all the authors like writing him so much.
Indeed. All right, Nancy, what is new on the blog?
Well, if you are follow both Tachi Station and 1138, you would have seen the epic crossover with Bria and Jay writing about monarchies in Star Wars. So they started over at 1138 and then finished over on Tachi Station. And there's, I believe there's four posts on there. So they wrote about Naboo, Hapes, and Alderaan, of course.
Of course.
Of course. And then also Bria reviewed Lando number 2, which was out yesterday. Last week, I wrote about the difference between fan service and objectification. And a lot of people read the article and seemed to like what I wrote, which made me glad. Because, you know, I was ready for people to call me a hypocrite, which is fine. But, you know, I pointed out that there's a difference between, you know, showing Thor's abs in a movie that's called Thor and, you know, showing half-naked ladies in movies where they're just there to be half-naked. So that's the difference, basically. You're still caring about Thor as a person. And also, we are going to be recording our Revenge of the Sith commentary tomorrow.
Or by the time you all are listening to this tonight.
Yep.
When you listeners are listening to this at this point, we're recording that tonight.
Friday night. Yes.
And then we may be taking we have one more podcast coming up either Sunday or Monday.
Yes. We have to, because D23 is this weekend, and we're going to be talking about news out of there. Hopefully there's some parks news. Like, I honestly care more about the parks news than anything from Star Wars or Force Awakens. Because, you know.
Priorities.
We will live there, basically.
Yeah, and then I think we're taking a break until Dragon Con.
Because we will have family in town. And so we'll be posting the commentary the week we're taking off.
And we also have some panel recording from AwesomeCon a little earlier this year that will go up into the feed.
But don't worry, come DragonCon, you will get a crap ton of stuff in your feeds.
Yes, because Brandy is exceedingly nice and lets us plug in our handheld recorder into the mixer there.
I was going to say, you guys are on so many panels this year, you won't be able to live tweet quite as many.
No. I mean, between the ones we're on and then Bria's on other ones, I don't think we're on any that overlap with her, so we'll really be able to post it.
So there'll be a lot of panel audio uploaded every night.
Oh, and also, we should say what we're also going to do on Labor Day. I'm very excited about this. Dragon Con is not Labor Day, September 1st. So every year, Labor Day or Dragon Con is over Labor Day weekend, which usually falls in the beginning of September. But this year, Labor Day is late. It's like the second week of September because of the way the Sundays fall. So I think Labor Day is September 7th. So September 1st is a Tuesday. And we will actually be home. And therefore, we will be able to go to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter after work and ride the Hogwarts Express to Hogwarts on September 1st.
I'm ridiculously excited for that.
We have always wanted to do that. I mean, well, since it opened, like last year. But, and we haven't even been able to go to Wizarding World because it's always during Dragon Con. So we're going to wear our house attire and go ride the train.
There's your cross fandom piece for the day.
Oh, and it's not even Cross Fandom Friday. We appreciate your sacrifice.
Right?
In coming to Dragon Con on Labor Day instead of going to Hogwarts.
It's hard.
It's such a sacrifice.
But I think we're going to try to record some audio from our field recorder and, you know, ride the train as we ride the train. Yay.
That'll be fun.
It will. I'm excited about that.
All right, and now we move on to Fixer's Flash, the geeky things we've been up to. Nancy?
I am still watching all the space stuff, and I'm still brainstorming my next book, and I'm still reading Blightborn, and started prepping for Dragon Con, because it's really close.
We have panels to prepare for.
Yeah. We're good at that, though. We're good. We know what we're doing. I think we know what we're doing.
I hope we know what we're doing.
Or at least Brandy thinks we know what we're doing.
Never tell me the odds.
Exactly. No,
we have full faith and confidence in you, obviously. Yeah. We gave you even more responsibility this year.
Yay. Brian was like, said something about the Chuck Wendig thing, and I'm like, dude, I got this. I can come up with questions. Or I'll just be like, hey, Chuck Wendig is really interesting. Ask him questions and hear him talk.
Hi, this is Chuck. He's going to talk for the next hour.
Pretty much.
I'm just going to sit here and look pretty.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you need to prompt him to talk. He's, you know, he's good at that.
He seems to be so entertaining just on Twitter alone. Uh-huh. So I think we'll be fine.
I am really so excited. But yeah, that's basically what we're doing.
As for me, I finished Blightborn and The Harvest. So I am done with The Harvest, or with the Heartland trilogy by Chuck Wendig. It was very...
Oh, wait, you finished Harvest?
Yeah, I finished Harvest.
When did you finish it?
Last night.
Oh.
Or sorry, 2 nights ago.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't tell me.
I didn't? I'm sorry.
Keeping secrets from me.
yes, the trilogy was very good, and as I've been saying repeatedly, if you're worried about Aftermath being written in third-person present, go read those books, because you have nothing to worry about.
And also, Chuck Wendig wrote a blog post about why he writes in third-person present.
So. It wasn't the title, Third-Person Present is My Space Jam.
Yeah, something like that.
Wordsmith so. Chuck Wendig.
Yep.
Yep. So, Brandy, what about you?
I've been really geeky this summer. I took corporate finance.
Ooh!
I don't know that that's geeky or just nerdy or just terrible in general. So my geeky this week, I'm at home in Virginia with my parents, and my mother, bless her heart, has finally succumbed to the dark side and had a Darth Vader lightsaber waiting for me when I got home.
Aww.
And some Clone Wars books that she's picked up. And then I guess she stuffed some action figures that were on sale and like hid them behind a bunch of other stuff at Walmart so they'd still be there when I got there. So my mom wins all the geeky points for the Rotsy family.
Yeah. That's but awesome.
We did. I mean, we got a lot of stuff taken care of. We've got vinyl shades that we're going to be painting on Saturday. So
wow.
Hopefully the room will look as awesome in person as it does in our heads at this point. But we'll see.
Yeah. You're going to have a hard time topping what you all put together last year.
I loved the ghost stuff last year.
Yeah.
That was so fun.
And I
cool.
think, and was it the year before that where you had like a museum, like museum stuff?
Yes, that... we've done the Smithsonian before.
That was amazing. That was awesome. That was
and
great.
And then we did the, Superfan did the comprehensive timeline that was color coded across the entire room. It was way too much. Way too much.
Mm. That's cool.
Very cool.
Well, how much of it is Nat? Yeah, it's still kind of a touchy situation, touchy topic. to what will remain and how everything is going to change.
Ah, the exciting weeks leading up to Dragon Con.
Yeah.
And let's head into Deke's Dirt News from around fandom. We have new characters and plot details for Shattered Empire.
Yes. So they came out last Friday, I think, after we podcasted. But Greg, sorry, the name just spaced on me. Greg Rucka, who is the author, had a really good interview on StarWars.com. All about Shattered Empire. He talks a lot about writing it and like just Star Wars in general. And basically the relevant bits is that the comic is going to span several months after the Battle of Endor, which is kind of what Heather was alluding to last week when she was on the podcast. And it surrounds two new characters, Shara and Cass Bay. They're a married couple and part of the Rebel Alliance, but they soon realize that defeating the Empire is going to take much more than just killing the Emperor. And I like the fact that it's a married couple who are both fighting the rebellion, and seems like we get another strong lady character, so yay!
I'm excited for that one.
Yeah.
That's another Force Friday drop, right? So
I saw that it actually got pushed back a week.
Did it? Okay.
Which I'm fine with, because
that's so much other stuff.
But there's four issues, and I think the trade is coming out in November. So when the trade comes out, we'll probably have a podcast about it. Also, there was a blurb for Twilight Company, which is the Battlefront tie-in book. It's kind of long, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's basically talking about how it's a group of soldiers in the 61st Mobile Infantry, better known as Twilight Company, and they are, in the front lines of the war. So it takes place during the original trilogy. And there's also blurbs for the three short stories that are going to be in The Rise of the Empire.
Which I'm very excited about.
So Rise of the Empire is a bind-up of A New Dawn and Tarkin. And so you get two novels for the price of one if you haven't gotten them yet. Plus three new short stories, which are longer than a lot longer than the short stories that are in Star Wars Insider. So you are getting a lot of content, even if you have the books already and you want to buy these. But Mercy Mission by Melissa Scott is the first book, and this is takes place before A New Dawn, with starring a young Hera going back to Ryloth. Bottleneck by John Jackson Miller is basically described as when Tarkin met Vidian. And it's Tarkin having to work with Count Vidian and seeing how those two clash, which should be fun. And also, finally, The Levers of Power by Jason Fry, which is basically going to be Rey Sloan being awesome and kicking ass at the Battle of Endor. F yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yes.
Now, do consider that you are getting essentially a novella worth of new material in mm-hmm. this bind up.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to get my hands on this book.
Yeah. I'm really excited, especially I would buy it just for that story.
Oh yeah.
Just for the Sloan story. Yeah.
The fact that we're getting two other
yeah,
great stories packaged into it is really exciting.
Really feel like Del Rey is paying attention and giving people what they want at this point. I mean, we're getting so much new information, new stories, even new characters or backstories on characters we already have. But they're giving us, I mean, it's going to be a great time for kids to come up and have all of this stuff to read, all of the old stuff and
yeah.
then constant new stuff too.
Yeah. I'm excited. They're doing a lot of different eras of stories. You know, they've got original trilogy stuff with Battlefront. They had a Clone Wars era novel just come out. They've got, now they're starting to get into the post Return of the Jedi era again. So there's something for everyone, which is true for all of Star Wars too.
Yeah, and they like you said, they really are listening. I mean, they wasted no time in figuring out that Rey Sloane was a very popular fan favorite that emerged early on.
And I know some people think that they don't, you know, you think about, oh, the bring back Legends people and how, you know, people say they shouldn't be, you know, campaigning, which, and then they say, well, you can't let them know what you want. That's not true. You know, they are very open on Facebook and Twitter. You know, if you want to send them a message or just be like, hey, we'd love to have a book about blank. Like, that's not going to bother them. They hear that all the time. What is annoying, however, is when they're talking about a book or they post a picture of a book at the printer and all the comments they get are about how much they suck and how much they want other books. So don't do that. Please. Just, you know, whatever. You're allowed to have your opinions, but stop it. Stop having your opinions. But yeah, so it's a, yeah, I'm excited and looking forward to the new short stories. Yay.
All right. Well, shall we strap in for Big's bullshit? Because we've got a surprising amount of stuff here.
Yeah. So, apparently yesterday they decided, hey, we're going to do, a bunch of Star Wars news without, you know, telling you beforehand, which is my favorite type of day because
surprise Star Wars.
It is surprise Star Wars. What's the best? So running down really quickly, there was a gallery of photos in Entertainment Weekly, some that we'd seen before at conventions, like the General Hux picture, but they had released the, you know, clear version of it. And then there were some newer ones we hadn't seen, like with Rey and the and cutting out BB-8 out of the soccer ball bag. Yeah. But so, and then there was a bunch of different articles about different parts of the, you know, about different parts of the film. And the first one was really interesting because it basically explained how they got J.J. Abrams to direct Star Wars. And it was because he didn't want to do it. And then Kathleen Kennedy asked him one simple question: who is Luke Skywalker? And then J.J. Abrams decided that he had to be the one to answer that question. So I thought that was really cool. And especially because there hasn't been a lot about Luke, like, at all. As far as, like, the promotional materials, they haven't talked about him. Or Leia, you know, for that matter. We've only seen her in that behind-the-scenes footage. And they've, you know, we've seen Han. We know he's going to be in the movie a lot more. But, the fact that they are still, you know, talking about him and that what he's been doing was such a big consideration makes me happy that, you know, he'll at least be an influence in the galaxy. Because, you know, that's relevant to my interests. But I think the biggest piece of news that we got from the articles is from a piece about Kylo Ren, who is the cover boy, and looks really freaking awesome. Brandy, I might have to join you on the dark side for this one.
I have no idea. I don't know what to do about him at this point, because I'm like, oh, he's not, you know, I don't know, classically handsome.
Yeah.
There is a power about him for sure.
Yeah. He's not definitely anyone I would find attractive, but in the costume is so cool, you know, and when that shot of him from the first teaser lighting his lightsaber, it's, you know, he's got a very commanding presence at least. So it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, Kylo Ren is not his real name, as some people speculated earlier. I heard a lot of speculation that Kylo was a title, but actually the Ren is the title part. It's they say he came to the name when he joined a group called the Knights of Ren, which of course, everyone is like, well, what the heck is that, J.J. Abrams? But, you know, he won't tell us anything else.
He answers one mystery just to create a bigger one right over there.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Like, him answering the questions makes more questions. So, yeah, and I'm assuming Kylo is also not his, not a name. It may, might be a title, might be a rank, you know. But so, yeah, that's not his real name. So, of course, now everyone wants to know, okay, well, we, you know, don't have last names for Rey and Finn. Now we don't have a real name for Kylo Ren. Oh, my God.
I think you just wrote a new Weird Al song.
That's, yeah.
That's really creepy, actually.
Can we just pause for a minute in our news and say that I really hope Weird Al writes a Star Wars song?
I hope he does, and I hope that this time Lucasfilm just gives him what he needs.
Yeah. But so yeah, that was really cool. Also that he constructed the lightsaber on his own, and it's a design of his own creation, which is, and it's very, you know, raw, just like he is.
Looks like he made it in shop class.
Yeah, right. And this was one quote from the article about him talking about the kind of character that he is, and that he's unlike people we've seen before. Talking about both the, you know, light and dark sides, you know, the heroes and villains. Both sides arguably would see themselves as the hero of their story, and I think that applies here. And I really liked that, because like the first thing you learn in writing is that no, everyone is the hero of their story. You know, villains think they're doing the right things. No one really sets out to be evil, you know. Even the villains feel that they're doing what they need to do. So it's
going to be so exciting. It makes it so much more real, just like you were saying, the justification. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Is it December yet? I'm ready.
I know, right? I'm really interested because, like, I like the image of Kylo Ren. I like what they're getting at, but I'm not really... I'm much more interested in like Poe and Rey, but I haven't really loved a lot of the villains in Star Wars. Like, I love Palpatine because he's just so evil, you know, but I mean, he's just pure evil. And, you know, Vader is like, he's so conflicted. And then in the original trilogy, he's also so badass and, you know, powerful and evil. But as far as someone like Kylo, who's very conflicted, you know, you haven't really seen that much. So, and getting into other articles, they went through a whole, they had an article about how different characters got their names. Like Poe Dameron was named after J.J. Abrams' assistant, which was kind of cute. And, he named BB-8 because it looked like an 8, and you know, the BB was kind of like an onomatopoeia. So, but as far as Rey and Finn, yes, there is a reason that their surnames are secret, as if there was any doubt.
Are they going to tell us why?
No.
But there's a reason.
So, of course, everyone, you know, everyone already speculates that their Solos are Skywalkers. So we will see.
I'm going to be really upset if that's the case. That's why I'm so excited about the Kylo Ren news, because this spoilery speculation, you know, I'm glad that seemingly they're being proven wrong at this point. So.
Yeah. So you'd be upset if they're not related in somehow, or like.
No, I would be fine with some other families in the galaxy.
Yeah.
Let's be real. Yeah. I mean, I love a Skywalker story. That's fine. But I don't know. I kind of want some other family involved as
yeah.
well.
I feel like as far as the main character is concerned, I feel like that person has to be part of that family. But as far as the other characters, like I agree. Like, I don't want everyone to necessarily be related. You know, like Obi-Wan, you know, Obi-Wan wasn't related, but he was like family, you know. because right. of how.
Well, it's like you were saying about having a married couple also fighting the rebellion. You know, it takes a village, not just a village of Ewoks.
Yes.
So, I mean, we need some more characters.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. That's why I think like Poe Dameron is so interesting, because like as much as I, you know, say like how cool it would be if he was like related to Wedge, like, you know, I think I like the idea more of him just being like an apprentice, you know, like he was, you know, Wedge was his flight instructor and that sort of thing.
I mean, that would be fun.
Yeah. Let's see. Abrams said he will not direct episode 9. So you can stop with those rumors, although of course people won't.
Of course not.
Yeah. And so the pictures were very cool. They had a gallery of 12 pictures, and I think my favorite was the crashed TIE fighter with Finn standing next to it.
Oh, that was so cool.
That was such a cool picture. And like the awesome part was that I think we've seen like bits of that scene. I'm speculating it's, you know, the opening from the first teaser of Finn jumping up in the desert. And I've heard a lot of speculation that the TIE fighter that's in the second teaser, like he's flying it, which would make sense, you know, if he crashes it on Jakku and then has to run away. Which led me to say, fly, yes, land, no. yeah, that was my favorite picture. And this made me really happy. There was a picture of 3PO and R2 standing together, which makes me believe that they're in, you know, in the film at some point together, which makes me very happy. And 3PO still has a red arm, which
he let the Wookiee. He didn't let the Wookiee win.
That seems legit. I like that.
How did he get it? I know. Ah, so many questions. And then there's that aforementioned picture of Rey cutting BB-8 out of a soccer ball net, which is so rude. the alien on top of the creature is called Tito, and the creature is called a Lugabeast, which
is the most perfectly Star Wars alien name ever.
Isn't it? A Lugabeast. I want a Lugabeast.
It's almost literal.
Really. Yeah. Lugging beast, you know, Lugabeast.
He is kind of cute, though. I know. Almost like a battle cat or something.
I don't know. That's what I heard a lot of people saying. So that makes me wonder, like, is this when she first finds BB-8? Like, does she rescue him from this guy, or does she know him from before? Was he sent to the planet beforehand, like the droids from the original trilogy? You know. There's just so much questions that we don't know. And that's why I like all the this news, because it gives us all this information and then a whole bunch of more questions.
It gives us things to chew on and speculate on.
Yes. Yes.
And the more everybody speculates, the better the chances are that someone down the road is going to actually have gotten it right. And we're going to be like, no, that was ridiculous. No way that's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
Yes. Yeah. And then today there was more stuff, which I know Brandy was excited about, because it was all about Han Solo today.
I kept waiting, and I was following the hashtag, and I really thought more people would be excited. And it was another one of those surprise days.
Yeah.
People just weren't really looking for it, I guess. But even at that, I didn't find a ton of information out there.
Yeah, there wasn't a ton of stuff from Entertainment Weekly. I think there was only two articles this time, as opposed to yesterday's like four. But there was some information. There was a really nice article about Harrison Ford return as Han Solo, and basically how he made peace with the role. And there wasn't really a lot of information in that part, but it was very sweet. And it talks about his reunion with Peter Mayhew, that, you know, it even brought a tear to my eye.
It made me really excited about Dragon Con.
Yes.
We have Peter Mayhew coming.
Yes. And he was at Star Wars Weekends and was really excited about, you know, the movie. And they showed the trailer at the end of the presentation that he was in. And it was so funny because they started it and like Ray Park got up from his seat to turn around and watch the big screen. And then James Arnold Taylor got up to do this, sit next to him. And then, you know, Peter was in his wheelchair. And so he like rolled around so he could look at the screen. So we all just sat and watched the trailer with Chewie, and it was fantastic.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. And, also, they made it seem like I think we already knew that he was going to have a big part in the movie, but that he's actually has a lot of action scenes. And like after he hurt his leg, they said you wouldn't be able to tell like that he hurt his leg because apparently like they rewrote some scenes to have him do even more action stuff. And apparently Chewie does as well because they had another actor who had to fill in during those parts. So that makes me, you know, very intrigued to see what exactly he's going to be up to.
It's just so exciting. And I don't know if you guys caught the J.J. Abrams on Jon Stewart.
Yes.
Talking about how Harrison Ford is pretty much just a real action hero in real life. Yes.
He's an actual superhero.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah.
So, as a Han Solo and a Harrison Ford fan, the more I hear about this movie, I'm just so excited.
Yeah.
There just aren't words. It's just terrible. I'm like, all I can keep saying is, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
I'm so scared.
Just wait.
Yeah.
You're going to be, everybody's going to be in so much trouble at Dragon Con.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, I always joke and say, like, I don't care about Han Solo, but, you know, it is exciting, you know. And even when, you know, when he came out at San Diego Comic-Con, I did get really excited because, you know, it's just, I mean, even if I'm not, like, super fan of him individually, like, the idea of them, all three of them being in the movie is, you know, it wouldn't be the same if all three of them weren't in it. And, like, I don't know if they'll be all together in Force Awakens, but the promise that they could all three be on screen together again. And then the whole scene of them during the panel, them just like bantering the lines back and forth was hilarious. And it made me really excited for the press junket.
I'm convinced that they filmed together because they were very comfortable with each other still. So
yeah.
I think we're going to get lots of Skywalker family.
That would make dynamic. Me so... Because, like, that was the one thing that always bothered me about the Expanded Universe is that there wasn't a lot of family dynamics. Like, as much as the stories focused on them for so long, they still weren't, like, being families. And, like, they were always so dysfunctional. Like, there was a few scenes, like, of... There was a picture from, I think, the Essential... chronology of them having dinner all together, and that's supposed to be in the beginning of the Legacy of the Force books, but it's hard for me to look at knowing what happens in that series. But I'm like, that's what I want, is them just hanging out and having dinner.
If for nothing else than for a Saturday Night Live sketch.
Yeah, right?
I'm all for that.
Yeah. But there's also a few little bits of information in the second article about the Han Solo anthology film, which, you know, is still a long ways away. It's not coming out until 2018. But Kathleen Kennedy said that they don't want to reveal too much information about Han's backstory. So, you know, you don't have to worry that it's going to reveal every single bit about Han ever. He will stay somewhat mysterious, and that the movie will surround an event or, you know, a series of events in Han's life. So I don't think it's going to be like 10-year history of Han Solo, like, you know, or even like the Han Solo trilogy was where it jumped. It'll probably just be one specific, you know, event that they're talking about, which, and she said they talked a lot about Han's reputation for his humor and like being the character in the film that brings levity. And Kathleen Kennedy pointed out they wouldn't have hired the directors they hired if they didn't plan to stay true to that. So expect sort of like an adventure comedy, which makes me happy because that's similar to what, you know, Indiana Jones is, but a little lighter, I think. Han would be.
It's got to be. I mean, he really is. As much as you want to say the droids are the comic relief,
yeah,
the snarky one-liners are just perfect. It's absolutely perfect. Not, and they've got to stay true to that.
And not even the... he doesn't even have to say anything. I mean, how many times have I used that gif of him in front of the bunker shrugging? Like, it's just the perfect response to everyone. Or like the who, me, after Lando comes on, like, and him rolling his eyes and the, oh, great.
You're right. It's totally perfect. But I think that that's why they're not giving us a solid age, because they've not found that actor that can truly have that much charisma all the time.
It's going to be hard. Like, and that's why when people always like throw names around, I just think they have to find someone completely and utterly unknown, because there's going to be way too much baggage. Like, if they hire someone to be like, you know, that someone like Chris Pine, who has all this like history, it's going to need to be like someone like Daisy Ridley or John Boyega, who people really don't know anything about,
but still have such a commanding presence. And, you know, our fans themselves, so they know what they're getting into.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Also, what I found interesting was that the Han anthology movie was one of the first ones that they threw out there. And it was basically that they started working on these movies before the sale. And they had a bunch of ideas of stories that they would want to tell. And, you know, Lawrence Kasdan was like, I want to do a Han film. And so that's when they started working on it, like way back then. And but you know, they didn't really say anything more about, you know, what the story is going to be. So I imagine we're going to have to wait a long time for that, because they're still working on it. And as far as how old he's going to be, Kathleen Kennedy said he's definitely not going to be a kid. He will be, you know, late teens or early 20s. Which makes me very happy, because I feel like seeing a young Han Solo would ruin so much about him.
I don't want to see a 14-year-old scoundrel.
No, ever. No.
You don't need to see Han Solo look up at someone and say, "Are you an angel?"
No. Oh God, he never. He wouldn't say that. Yeah.
I don't think we'd want to know what he'd say, though.
No.
So it's good that we skip past the awkward and just go straight to the suave.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Because you know he was a huge dork.
pretty much.
He probably was.
You could see the winks and the grins and the...
I mean, he really is. Like, that's why I think
he's going to be identical to young Indiana Jones. Young Indiana Jones, dork.
This belongs in a museum. So yeah, I think that's it from the Han news today. And also,
there's more coming tomorrow.
There's more tomorrow. I'm like, why Entertainment Weekly, you treat us so well. Thank you.
They are setting it up big time for D23 this weekend. Although we're not supposed to get a lot of Star Wars information.
We're not going to get a trailer, no footage. They might put up some pictures of, you know, that we've seen before.
Some Rogue One stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm expecting they might show that teaser for Rogue One and finally release it officially. But I'm more looking forward to park stuff.
Yeah. D23 has always had a very heavy focus on the Disney parks and properties.
Well, not necessarily even that, but in 2013, because they only have D23 every 2 years.
Yeah.
In 2013, they came out beforehand and said, we're not releasing anything about the parks. We have no news for parks and resorts. They haven't said anything like that this time around, and they have an hour and a half long presentation for parks and resorts. So if they don't announce a massive overhaul of Hollywood Studios, people are going to be mad. So yeah,
and yet we'll still go.
Yeah,
still take my money no matter what.
Oh yeah, you don't have
to tell me anything.
Yeah, I'm.
They're waiting.
I mean, I'd really like them to say something Star Wars and parks related, because you know Nancy and I are on a panel at DragonCon, which brings us into Cammy's concerns.
Nice segue,
thank you,
Brian.
Yeah, we are previewing DragonCon 2015.
Woo! It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yep.
It's going to be exciting.
A whole weekend full of Star Wars and a lot of folks drinking way too much at night.
Yeah.
And repeating the next day.
Yeah.
You got to rally. Got to rally. There's 4 days of DragonCon.
Yeah. Yeah. DragonCon, it's wonderful, but it's so tiring. But it's just pretty much a huge, like, imagine, if you will, the Hilton bar, the Hilton lobby during Celebration. Now picture that for 4 days straight.
Everywhere,
all the time. Because
65,000 people.
Yeah, I mean, you think, oh, you know, there's not people hanging out and drinking during the middle of the day. Oh, no, there are. Like, and people, like, go to Dragon Con and don't even go to panels. They just hang out and cosplay and party.
But if you're not going to the panels, you're missing out.
You are missing out because we're on them. we talk about Dragon Con all the time, but Brandy, you've been going a lot longer than we have. You are, you know, involved in the planning of Dragon Con, obviously, as the Star Wars track director. So how would you describe Dragon Con to someone who hasn't been there, to a, you know, complete newbie?
I would say if you've ever been to the movies, if you've ever watched television, if you have ever talked to someone at work, there's probably something for you at DragonCon at this point. I mean, just the scope is massive. I laugh and I'm like, oh, whatever, DragonCon, it's just a Star Wars con. Well, for me, it pretty much is. But I mean, if you're into Star Trek, there's a home for you there. If you're into Guardians of the Galaxy, there's definitely a home for you there. I think James Gunn is just as in love with DragonCon as the rest of us at this point. There's something for everyone. TV shows. There was an I Dream of Jeannie reunion a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I'm super excited. I guess it's a big Doctor Who year, but I'm like, oh my God, that was one of the doctors from ER. So it's just so much fun. There's something for everyone. There's a friend to be made for everyone, because you're going to find at least one other person that's into whatever you're into, which could be scary, really, depending on what you're into. But Dragon Con is just massive at this point. Yes, it's a Star Wars convention for those of us who are massively into Star Wars, but you know, I hear a lot of my Stormtrooper friends that are like, well, I love Dragon Con, I love Star Wars, but that's my time when I can go be a fan of something else too. So, yeah, I mean, it's humongous at this point, but it's family, and it really is like coming home a lot.
Yeah.
Even if you only see these people once a year. It's just, I don't know.
One of the things you mentioned before about how James Gunn, you know, loves going to Dragon Con. That's one of my favorite things about it, is that the celebrities who go really, truly love Dragon Con. That they love that it's for the fans, by the fans. It's not like Comic Con where they, you know,
it's press junket 101.
There. Yeah. And not that, you know, people don't have fun there. You know, I'm sure they do. But Dragon Con is more about, you know, hanging out and, you know.
Go look up a YouTube video of any of the Battlestar Galactica panels yes. at Dragon Con to see how much fun celebrities have yeah. there.
And I mean, like, Dragon Con has a reputation of being a party con, which, I mean, there's a ton of...
It's a deserved reputation.
It's a deserved reputation. I mean, there is, you know, if you have kids, you know, there are a lot of
the family... con ends for you at 8.
Yeah, but there are a lot more family-friendly things to Dragon Con. But, you know, it's not uncommon to have, you know, celebrities hanging out at the bar, you know. And, you know, it's not uncommon to have celebrities show up to their panels completely and utterly trashed. So, yeah.
Or to show up to each other's panels.
Yes.
Just troll the panel.
Yes.
Didn't William Shatner interrupt a Nimoy panel
a couple years ago?
I think so. It's home for them, too, at this point.
And if you're at a Firefly panel, you can count on Nathan Fillion calling everyone's cell phone
yeah.
who's on the panel.
Yep. Yeah, we were on one of them where he wasn't there and they just kept calling him, and they just, like, the one panelist would call him, then the other person would, then the other person would. So, yeah. And so you have, how many years have you been the track director now, Brandy?
This will be my 7th year.
Wow. Man. That's a lot.
Changed a little bit.
Yeah.
7 years.
And that's what I was going to say is, like, I know we talked, I think last year we talked about, you know, the differences and how it's evolved over the year. But even from last year compared to this year, I imagine it's really different now, because, I mean, last year we had all the excitement that we knew a new movie was coming out, but we still don't even know the name of the movie at that point in time. Now we have 2 trailers, a bunch of pictures, we have a title, we know who's in the movie, you know, and then we have Stuff at 4 standalone. We've seen the first season of Rebels. We have a whole bunch more books. So, like, how different has it been this year when you actually, you know, have a whole bunch, and it's not just excitement, it's actual tangible stuff you can talk about now?
Well, it's a tightrope, actually. I was all, you know, full steam ahead, The Force Awakens. And then I realized that there are people who are going completely spoiler free, and that there are people who are not even watching the trailers.
Yeah.
So, you know, we make a conscious effort to try to have something for everyone. And how do you do that when all anybody wants to talk about is The Force Awakens? So, I mean, I was laughing, and I put out a fake schedule at the beginning, and I was like, here's our schedule. The Force Awakens.
Yes.
I mean, because at Celebration, it didn't matter what the panel was supposed to be about. Everything devolved into talking about The Force Awakens. And it's still to that point. I mean, that's all I want to talk about. I'm so excited about it. But we're going to have to really try to balance that. So we've got big spoiler alerts in half of our panel descriptions, and we're going to have a big sign that, you know, basically put your earmuffs on at this point, because we're going to, it's going to be difficult for the people who are trying to go spoiler free, but we've tried to clearly delineate, you know, where there might be spoilers and where we're going to talk about what we know so far. Where there's going to be just rampant speculation. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's so exciting to have new stuff. And then with Force Friday, the first day of Dragon Con. It's a lot right now. It's just a lot. I'm like, everybody else just needs to go home. I'm sorry if you're coming to Dragon Con for Star Trek. Just quit now, because we're going to need your rooms. So
right?
Really talk about Star Wars.
The room is going to be packed. Like, last year it was packed at some of the panels, and I can't imagine this year it's not going to fill up completely.
Yeah, the ridiculous just speculation. We're just going to BS the entire time. Speculation episode 7 panel. We turned hundreds of people away.
Yeah, Brian and I were on that panel. And we did a writing workshop beforehand, and we were walking over from the Hyatt, and I remember we passed Bria, and she was like, yeah, good luck, guys. And we were like, what? And then we got there and saw the line, and we were like, holy shit. What have we gotten ourselves into? And we had good discussion, and we had people ask a lot of, you know, good questions, but it was kind of like, We have nothing to talk about. And, like, you guys are all here for that. Now this year, we have actual stuff to talk about. And
I think before the panel started last year, I said into the mic, you folks know we're not from Lucasfilm, right?
Yeah, seriously.
But
We got in trouble with the fire marshal because we had every spare inch of that room covered with bodies.
I hope we have a bigger room this year.
We do. We're in main programming this year.
Oh, right? God. That
oh
makes me
want to.
Even if it's just speculation
that,
again.
That makes me want to barf from nerves. But yeah,
but we're starting off. I mean, that's the second panel.
I know that's
all of Dragon Con, so we're
I know. I'm actually really glad about that, because that's the first panel I'm on. So after that, I'll be
it's all downhill from
sailing. I'm gonna be really tired from the night before. I'm gonna be hungover from Force Friday, but I'm basically gonna, yeah, it'll be fun. But so one of the questions that I had for you is, and you kind of addressed it earlier, as far as you wanted to give something for everyone. And that's always been something I've really liked about the Star Wars track. And even like for all, even from like, I think I've started, this is my fifth year now in a row, that there's always been something for everyone at the Star Wars track. You know, if you're into costuming or video game or the expanded universe or whatever, you know, there's something there for you. But now, like when I started, it was, you know, there was a bunch of interest, you know, as far as the books and the Clone Wars was out. But now it seems like everyone is excited about Star Wars again, you know, and the mainstream media is so, you know, excited about Star Wars. So is there more pressure to, you know, deliver as far as programming is concerned, or, you know, as far as like, we have to have a panel about this, and we have to have a panel about this, and then we have to have a panel about this, and oh, we only have so many panels to actually do.
So, yes, that's where we are in so much trouble. Yeah. I'm like, costuming panels? We did them last year. We're going to try to fit in a couple. There's definitely not enough room to do one every day.
Yeah.
There's not even enough room to do The Force Awakens every day. I mean, we've tried to do something that would hit on it. We've tried to put, you know, an author panel at least once a day.
Yeah.
We're out of space and we're out of time. I mean, we really could be running 5 rooms at the same time and fill them up and have tons and tons of things to talk about, which I guess is why Celebration is so much fun, because
yeah.
You have an entire convention devoted just to Star Wars. So it's, yeah, there's pressure, but at the same time, we really try to focus on the people who are coming and the people who are helping us and the people who are giving us that feedback every single year of what do you want to see? You know, what do you want to talk about? What can we do to make your Dragon Con even better?
Yeah.
So we have a luxury with that other cons don't have.
And have you seen more interest as far for the past several years, as far as, you know, more fans writing and saying panels they want, you know, to see, as you know, panels they want to be on? It seems like every year it gets more and more people are going to Dragon Con and want, you know, to have input into what's going on there at the track.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. I imagine it makes your job a lot easier.
It makes life so much better. This is the first year where I'm like, I had to turn people down for panels. So thank goodness. Yay, people volunteering. Because it would be really boring to just hear me talk constantly. And there have been years where none of my panelists showed up, or all of my panelists ditched at the last minute. So it's so wonderful now to be in a place and a position where we have you guys who we can count on to be there and to be professionals and to carry a panel by yourself. So then, you know, I don't feel bad when I am the only staffer in the room because I sent somebody to finally go get some food.
No.
It's so nice because there are only 7, including myself, official Star Wars at Dragon Con crew who are in charge of running the room and the doors and making sure everything is set up and being ready to fight any fires that pop up. So it's
yeah, literal wonderful. And figurative.
Yeah, sometimes. It's wonderful to finally have professionals such as yourselves willing to help us out. And again, communicating where we can get better for next year, or where there's something that needs to be discussed, that nobody's talking about this and we're the only ones who are brave enough to do it or whatever. So
yeah,
you guys make the panels, you guys make the programming. We just sort of fit it all together into a matrix.
And one of the things I love about Dragon Con is just what you said, that they have panels for things that, you know, don't happen at other conventions. You know, there are some conventions now that, you know, they seek out fan programming and, you know, people can, you know, pitch panels. And at Celebration, they do have some fan panels, but so much of it is, you know, it's official stuff. And I mean, that's why we go there. We go there because we want to hear Del Rey talk about their books, and we want to hear Marvel talk about their comics, and we want to hear J.J. Abrams talk about The Force Awakens. But I mean, sometimes it's just nice to sit there and hear fans talk about, like, why they like Luke Skywalker, or, you know, what they loved about season one of Rebels, you know, and not have it just be, you know, pitch, you know, commercial. Like,
It is different. It's nice to not have that sort of agenda. But if J.J. Abrams wants to come, have every panel.
We would not say no.
I could probably make some room for, Mark Hamill or Harrison Ford, if we wanted to start a GoFundMe and come up with the astronomical amount of money to get him here.
Right.
I'm not going to be opposed to it. It would be really hard to make room. But I'm pretty sure that there would be plenty of room if they wanted to give us anything official. If they wanted to drop the trailer during DragonCon, I'm pretty sure the entire city of Atlanta would stop and make that happen. So, including the Chick-fil-A Bowl and College Game Day and everything else that's going to be in Atlanta. I'm pretty sure if they wanted to give us the trailer, you would get probably several million people that would stop everything immediately right there Atlanta.
Well,
I mean, it would be the Walking Dead.
Well, I mean, it happened. Everything would stop. It happened at Celebration. You know, it's like everyone was just kind of like held their breath for a minute and a half, and then that's all anyone talked about afterwards was like, did you see the trailer? You know, we've talked to Tom from Del Rey about, you know, watching the trailer. Everyone in the exhibit hall went to the Lego booth because they had the biggest screen, and they were all just standing there watching the trailer as it was simulcast, which just it's awesome. But
it was amazing.
Yeah,
I still cry when I see it in a movie theater, and I've seen it several times. I just can't. I'm just too excited.
I still haven't seen it in the theater yet, but every time I watch it, I get chills. But that's what's so great about DragonCon is that there are, you know, panels like, you know, we talk about Force Awakens, or, you know, we have, you know, authors like, you know, Tim Zahn and Mike Stackpole come all the time. And this year we've got Chuck Wendig, which is awesome, you know. But then, you know, you've also got fans just talking about, you know, making costumes and stuff like that. So it's a good mix.
And the costumes are really, I think, I don't even know. It's taking DragonCon to the next hemisphere or whatever. So it's really putting DragonCon on the map.
Yes, definitely. So you mentioned Force Friday is happening the last day of DragonCon, or the first day
the
of
first,
Dragon,
yeah,
first
the,
day of DragonCon.
I'm sorry.
First day of DragonCon.
Decorating the room and maybe trying to get a good night's sleep, pulling
it yeah, right?
together so we could get started at 10 o'clock in the next morning. We're attempting to have a field trip.
Yay!
it might be me driving a minibus and taking us all to see Chuck Wendig and his signing. And I believe he might even do a reading of Aftermath.
Ooh.
Maybe before midnight or right at midnight. And then we can walk across the parking lot and there's a Target right there. So
it'll
be really, really exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited. Like, I remember when they announced the whole Force Friday thing, and I saw September 4th, and I went, oh, crap. I was like, oh, that's going to be hard. And then not only is it just the toys, you know, it's the books, and it's all of the books. And Aftermath is not having an advanced copy. So, you know, all the bloggers are going to have to read it really fast to get a review up. And, yeah.
I was really, that's why you got that panel. I was really thinking you'd have a copy and I had it read by then.
Well,
that's my only hope.
I will get a copy and I will do my best to read as much as I can before the panel that happens that night, which is why I will be very bleary-eyed the following morning.
The panel that's way, way less than 24 hours later.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but, you know, I there's no way I'll have it done by then. Bria might have it done by then, but, you know. I'll have enough done that I can answer some probing questions without being spoilery.
Right.
Mostly I just ask about Wedgie Antilles. over and over and over. But yeah, it's going to be insane. And especially, you know, with Dragon Con going on, you know, there's going to be a bunch of people wanting to go get some toys. It'll be interesting.
Yes. So we're having, so we're going to take people over to go shopping. And then, unfortunately, it looks like the Toys R Us in Buckhead is going to be closing.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that we've got some other options here. But then if, like I said, if I rent the party bus or whatever, the minibus, then we'll have it. So we could go see Chuck Wendig. We could go to Target. And then if we want to drive across town and go to a different Toys R Us, we can have that option as well.
Yeah. So, I know you know, you're the track director, you know, there's, you know, you got to be impartial and have something for everyone. But, for you, Brandy, they're just the Star Wars fan, not Brandy the track director. What panels and guests are you most looking forward to this year?
Well, it's hard to bifurcate myself like that. so, really, I am ridiculously excited about Vanessa Marshall because we've been working for a long time trying to get her to come to Dragon Con. So I am just so thrilled. I didn't get to meet her at Celebration. I can't wait to hang out with her. And I know she is very, very excited about Dragon Con and the costumes and the spectacle. And she is such a wonderful fan ambassador that I am just so psyched to share the love of Dragon Con with her. So no pressure. she's got to have a great time. It's like almost as much pressure as Carrie Fisher for me.
God, yeah.
I just wanted to have a good time. Maybe it's the Southerner in me. And I'm like, oh, got to be hospitable. But
yeah,
to have Hera and Chewbacca on the same stage, that's really exciting. It's so, like, it's just as different as they could be, really. But it should lend itself to some really interesting discussions.
I'm really excited about Vanessa Marshall being there because she's, you know, she is such a great fan and, you know, loves talking to other Star Wars fans. And, you know, she loves Star Wars as a fan, not just as, you know, Hera. But Hera is awesome.
Absolutely. It's going to be so exciting. And I will be that person that really wants to talk about The Force Awakens after every panel. So, I might as well just have a shirt that says spoiler alert because I'm going to be like, oh my gosh, did you hear this? So.
Yeah, I am going to have to actively have my hands over my ears a lot, you know, and be ready to go la la la. And like, I had to soul search about, you know, whether I wanted to put myself up for that episode 7 panel. And I was like, you know what? I'm probably going to be in that room anyway, so I might as well be on the panel so I can shut stuff down.
When it gets too spoilery,
yeah,
and not
I'm gonna
official.
Be like, eh. I need a buzzer to be like, eh, next subject.
it is the best time ever to be a Star Wars fan. We're so lucky.
I know. I remember like the first year I went to Dragon Con. I think was 2007, and that was kind of like when I was just getting kind of out of the Star Wars like love, and I think I went in 2007, 2008, and then I went back in 2011, and even going back in 2011 was such a difference, you know. And then it's every year there's more and more and more and more stuff.
Right. It's going to be interesting to see how Dragon Con handles Star Wars mania that is about to awaken, basically.
Yeah.
You may be in line for a bigger room after this year.
Right?
I think we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah.
We might need an entire hotel by next year.
So, yeah, I completely forgot to ask this, but a friend of mine, Sarah, thanks, just reminded me.
Are you guys there? Did I lose you?
We're here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Can you hear us, Brandy?
I think we've lost Brandy.
Okay, hang on to the thought. We're going to bring Brandy right back into the
Skype
call.
Devils!
Skype! Yes, and here are the perils of podcasting live. We're at occasionally we're occasionally at the mercy of Skype. I think we have, you back. Yep, we got you back.
Hello. Brandy. We forgot to talk about something beforehand.
What did we forget to talk about?
That first order picture.
Oh, that first order picture.
From the Korean TV spot. Was pretty awesome.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah,
it was. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
So sorry, I don't know what happened.
That's okay. Just I brought up the that picture of the First Order from that Korean TV spot that was posted earlier this week.
It's just that's mind blowing and breathtaking as well. Right?
I know. I realize I'm like, of all the Entertainment Weekly stuff, we forgot to mention that, but yeah, that was that alternate shot of what we saw in the second teaser.
Awesome. Which we haven't really given enough love to Captain Phasma.
Yeah. How awesome would it be to have Gwendolyn Christie at Dragon Con?
I will hold my breath on that one. they're getting a lot of Game of Thrones people this year.
Yeah.
So there's still time. We should totally put that on her radar. She should absolutely come to Dragon.
She would love it. I think so. We would worship at the altar of Phasma. Speaking of worshiping at the altar of people, I totally have forgotten to get in touch with you for it, but a friend of mine just reminded me that we...
Oh, no.
They don't want me to ask this question! What the heck? What the heck, Skype?
Skype is really
okay. Skype,
terrible.
We
right
just
now
need you to hang in there for 10 more minutes, Skype.
They don't want me to ask this
Quick,
question.
Nancy, ask the question.
All right. So we want to have Kathleen Kennedy Day. So when are we going to have our Kathleen Kennedy Day? We have to pick a day.
Well, I was saying that I needed to find the shirt and the and all of that. I don't know. Which day do you think lends itself more to it?
I'm thinking Force Friday.
You think it should be Kathleen Kennedy Force Friday?
Well, and that is the day we're having the Episode 7 panel, so...
I think you're right. We'll have to spread the word.
I think that Friday needs to be Kathleen Kennedy Day.
And also, I've heard word from some people that know people that we should inform Lucasfilm that we're doing this.
All right. That sounds good.
And get them pictures of us and, figure out when we're going to do it.
I like it. Yeah. We'll make it happen. Sweet. I'm tweeting it out right now.
Yeah. So if you are you don't even have to be a girl. If you're a guy and you've got the Her Universe lightsaber shirt and jeans and a white cardigan, that's all you need to participate in Kathleen Kennedy Day.
We're gonna make a photo op out of this.
We are.
I'll have my camera there, and we'll do a photo shoot for Kathleen Kennedy.
We have to set up a time. Ugh, this is gonna be hard, and a place that also will be hard. We should just
make this happen in between panels.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We know people. We can just
Nancy.
Do it in the track room.
Yeah, maybe we'll pick one of the fun backdrops.
Yeah, maybe before or after or the Episode 7 panel around that time, because I know it's in a different room. So
right, exactly. So
we'll figure out.
That'll be a little different.
Maybe around the Force Friday panel.
Yes, yeah. We are doing a Force Friday's finds. So hopefully bring that camera when we go shopping Thursday night.
Oh,
yes. We will film our shenanigans.
I will have the camera with me.
Yep. We're going to be like... All right, take one of everything.
Well, and that's why we were trying to have that panel on Friday. So there's still time for people to get out and go shopping.
Yeah.
Or order online. That's really what I'm planning at this point.
Yeah. So. And I really wanted to go to the signing. And then I saw there was, you'd be able to go over to Target. And I was like, sweet, I can do both.
Because
I don't care about being there at midnight I will go and get the rest of what's left over. I'm fine with that.
Because we have to take it all back with us to Orlando.
Yeah, and I mean, I know that if they sell out of Finn action figures, I'm going to be able to get some a few weeks later. You know, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I haven't heard really of anything being all that exclusive yet. But there's still 22 days to go. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the days of Star Wars action figures being really exclusive is, you know, unless it's like an expanded universe figure, like I still can't find Jason and Jaina. So, yeah. And never will.
Oh, well.
eBay. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we got just about wrapped up unless there's anything else you want to mention about Dragon Con or pitch for people to, you know, come to Dragon Con because it's awesome and everyone should go.
I mean, it is really fun. If you are within... And they're making a really conscious effort to be more kid friendly. We have several I don't even know. We have Saber School, we have the Pod Race for kids, and those are for little kids. But there's an entire track now, the Kaleidoscope track, that is pretty much for tweens and anybody who watches like Nickelodeon and Disney XD and all
that. We were
at
a couple of the Kaleidoscope track panels last year, and it's a very well put together, very, very thoughtful track.
Yeah. Kelly Sue is on some of those panels.
It hopefully will be very fun. And of course, the parade is always fun and it's free and you don't have to have a membership to go to.
Yeah.
Those are options too. But then our late night programming is pretty fun. Like the Suit Sinatra Star Wars party we are bringing back.
Excellent. I really enjoyed that one last year.
That will be Friday night again. And then Saturday night is the last party on Alderaan, where we actually have a stormtrooper as our DJ. So that's nice. Pretty exciting. He might not be suited up because 6 hours of spinning in armor would probably be misery, but Bobby's fabulous. He's also the charity liaison for the 501st.
Oh, so. Very cool.
Oh, nice.
Truly a bad guy doing good. But then he kills it as a DJ too. really, really fun dance party at Dragon Con.
Yeah, and one of the things I'm really excited is that you're doing the Sinatra party again. That was really fun.
It's nice to get dolled up.
Yeah.
and just a little bit more low-key, or I guess last year it kind of evolved into a swing dance.
Yeah, that was...
Based on what the people wanted.
I'm not really, super into, party, dancing and rave music, but I loved like just hanging out and like having some cocktails with your friends. It was pretty good.
It's nice to feel classy sometimes.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Yep. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be a great The Force Awakens year. I'm hoping we're going to get even more information between now and then, and it'll just be the Force Awakens overload. So,
yes.
It's a great time to be a Star Wars fan.
So
it really is.
There is still time to get out to Dragon Con if you want to go. If you go over to LiveJournal, there's a great community set up over there that helps find room shares. Flights are still somewhat affordable right now. You can still get a badge, so if you want to go to Dragon Con, you still can.
Yeah, if you were in driving distance of Atlanta, you have no excuse not to go.
It's very fun. You can buy your badge at the door if you need to. And there's also a good Facebook group, Dragon Con Rooms. Mm-hmm. And they sometimes get more information about when the hotel blocks are opening up before I do. So
I think we found out about we booked our room at the Westin thanks to that Facebook page.
Yes.
Getting the alert out a little faster than everyone else.
Yes. Thank you, people.
Yeah, they're definitely on the ball. I'm very impressed with them.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's going to wrap up Cammie's concerns this week. Brandy, where can we find you online? Oh dear, I think we lost Brandy again.
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yay, there we go. Okay, so where can we find you online, Brandy?
We are SWATDC pretty much everywhere. That's our Twitter handle. That's how you can find us on the internet. Star Wars at Dragon Con on Facebook as well. So SWATDC, that's how you can email us too. It's kind of redundant now that we've got it's SWATDC@DragonCon.org. But it's pretty easy. SWATDC. Like we are, I don't know.
SWATDC.
Tactical Elite Dragon Con.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Brandy, thank you for coming on. We will see you in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Thank you guys. Safe travels up to Atlanta. And yeah, we'll see you in like 3 weeks exactly for Force Friday.
My Yay! Goodness, that's sneaking up.
It's terrifying. Plan your shopping now.
All right, well, let's go ahead and wrap up the show there. This episode of Tosche Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links on the site. Help us keep the lights on. You can find us on Twitters with the handle Tosche_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with Lane Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we are the Tosche Station Network. We're available on the iTunes Store and Stitcher. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It helps us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Tosche.com/station.net. Thanks for listening to another episode. Keep an eye on your feed. We'll have a couple more items to upload before the week's out.
Bye.
So long. This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TosheStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tosche Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.